Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and I am Who You Got This Week. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Swami Recap, a little bit different Swami for me this year, but we'll get into those details here soon. And then I'm going to kind of kick off where we're going with the next series of podcasts, and we'll just have some fun here today. So, as you can tell, my voice is not quite all the way back, and that means that Swami Shuffle 200 was a no-go for me this year. Got the flu, it really hit me the Wednesday afternoon, where it really snowed bad here in Hampton Roads, and I so much wanted to be out playing in the snow, but I was having this flu cold bug just absolutely kick my butt, and so I ended up inside praying that somehow I would heal in time to make my Swami Shuffle 200 start. I was pretty positive I was going to do the Swami Shuffle 200 all the way up until about Saturday at noon. Saturday at noon, when I was sitting there looking at my pack, wanting it to pack itself and get water in it and get all the rest of my stuff in it and everything, I realized I don't have the energy to pack my pack. How in the world am I going to do a 200-mile race? So I had let James and Josh know that I most likely would not be starting, and this kind of set in a little bit of frustration on my part. Kind of not depression, but I was not excited about life at the time, because I just don't want my favorite race in the world to end before it even gets started. So I went down to the start line on Sunday morning, got to watch 24 of the most amazing people start off on the race, knowing that this was going to be an epic journey. And then I went back home, took a little nap, and decided, okay, stop feeling sorry for yourself, pivot, and serve. So that is what I decided to do. My beautiful, awesome, incredible forever girlfriend helped me get a bunch of stuff packed, and we packed up hot water and coffee and mashed potatoes and some ramen noodles and all kinds of different stuff. And we got the van all packed, and I took off for Kerala and went down to where everybody comes off the beach and got to see the first runners come off the beach. And man, did they look strong. I mean, just really, really strong. And I realized, whoo, there's some fast pace happening on this thing, as Thomas and Tyler were way out in front of everybody. Lisa, Michelle, and Katie Marquesich were up there also. I think a young guy named Connor was up there, and Garrett was up there. Even Richard Gleave was running really, really strong at that point. He was running with Lisa for a large part of the first day and everything. So a bunch of them came off the beach, and they were feeling fantastic. And so I stayed on the beach. I was hoping to wait until David Solomon and Ron and some of the back of the Packers and John Price got off the beach. But I decided, okay, I'm going to grab, you know, what I've got and head down and just see, check in on people. So I just started driving down North Carolina 12 and just stopping whenever I would see runners a little bit up, you know, ahead. I would stop, I would wait for them, see what they needed, just check on them. And you know, I was having a good time. It was a lot of fun. I drove all the way up and got in front of Thomas and Tyler and slowed them down immensely by making them walk with me for about a mile. And that was kind of fun, because it was probably the only time that those two guys were slow on the first day, because they were just absolutely killing it. And then Sunday night, I went down and just kind of see where, or I guess I headed, just stayed in the Nag's Head to Kill Devil Hills area, just checking on people, seeing how everybody was, seeing who, you know, needed anything. And about probably 8 o'clock in the evening, I drove back, so because I had a little project I had to do in my office on Monday morning. So I went straight into my office on Monday morning, and as soon as I got everything done, I took off and drove down. And my whole goal was to get into the P Island island area by lunchtime because I had picked up two large pizzas from Domino's on the way down when I was in Nag's Head. And I then became the pizza delivery dude. And from I don't even know how many times, I think I counted one time that I drove the entirety of P Island. From the Bassnight Bridge down to into Salvo, at least three times, back and forth, checking on runners, delivering hot pizza, and just was just trying my best to be of encouragement to help people work through any challenges they were having, helping runners do ultra math as they were into their second daylight portion of the day, and knowing how hard it is to do ultra math at that time. And then I met up with Kyle, and Kyle Vanek, who is amazing human being, was helping Tyler out and pacing him. So he ended up pacing Tyler for about 22 miles. And then Kyle jumped in my van at the Liberty Station, and we just kind of took off. We went up the whole entirety of P Island, just helping out any runners we could, finding out what they needed, just stopping and encouraging them. Then I drove Kyle back down to his car, which was at the P Island Visitor Center. No, it was all the way down at the Liberty Station. So I drove him back down to his car, and then we just kept on, for probably another 2 hours, just driving up and down North Carolina 12, stopping, helping any runners that we could, encouraging, delivering hot coffee and stuff in the middle of the night on the side of the road to people. That was a lot of fun. And then we both drove home, and I got home around midnight on Monday night. And then I just turned it around real quick and drove back down to North Carolina on Monday and stopped and picked up two dozen Dunkin' Donuts and headed down to the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, stopping and delivering Donut Joy to everybody that I could see. And then got down to the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and met a whole pack of runners coming in. Keith and Joel were the first two that I saw, and then we called them the party pack. Mike Edwards, Lisa McCollin, and Elizabeth Moyen were part of the party pack, and they came in with their extreme joy. It was so much fun seeing them. It was great seeing Elizabeth. She DNF'd last year, had a really rough race, and to see the pure joy on her face coming into the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse was something really, really special, because she knew she was halfway. And then I headed back up and drove, up and down North Carolina 12, just helping out. Because now you got both packs of runners. You got the back of the pack and you have the front of the pack. And so I just kept on driving up and down, checking on them. I picked up another large pizza from Angelo's and delivered some of the finest pizza out to the runners as they went along, and just had a great time. I mean, sharing laughs, sharing frustrations, sharing stories with the runners and everything. And it was a fantastic time. The whole time knowing that Thomas had already finished, that you kind of wrap your head around that. It's Tuesday late afternoon, and everybody knows that Thomas has already finished in 53 hours and 1 minute, 222 miles, 53 hours, 1 minute. Just an incredible, incredible race. And we'll be hearing from Thomas here shortly. So that's going to be a fun podcast because they started calling him the. I think Josh's name for him was the cybernetic guy. I nicknamed him Cyborg because inhumanly he slept for about 3.5 hours. I don't even know how you do that. But and he was still averaging, 9.5 to 10.5, 11-minute miles even at the end of 200 miles. So he did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. The Back Bay fiasco really started playing in a lot of the strategies because Tyler probably could have finished sometime long before the 72-hour mark. Like he would have been finished Tuesday night sometime, but he had to realize that I've got a 12-hour window that I cannot pass into the last 4.5 miles, 4.8 miles of this race. There's 3.5 miles of Back Bay Wildlife Refuge that they were strictly enforcing the half hour after sunset to half hour before sunrise. Nobody can go into it. And man, did that mess with a lot of strategy. It was just it was frustrating to watch the runners have to do ultra math at 180 miles and figure out, do I stop for the night here and then do a 50K on the way in, and hope that I can get in and not have to wait at the Back Bay Refuge for too long. Tyler is an absolute class act. So he got to the Back Bay sign about an hour and a half before he could go in, and he waited, and then Justin and Lisa caught up to him. And I just admire people like this who, instead of competing to, be able to pound his chest and say, I placed second, these three linked arms and came across the line all together. It was such a heartwarming thing to see. Three awesome athletes, Lisa Georges, Justin Merrigan, and Tyler Drapeau, come across the line all together in 71 hours and 32 minutes. It was a beautiful thing to see. Katie Markesich came in later that, I think it was right around noontime, she came in. Fantastic race on her part. Somebody who's never really ran roads, just did 180 miles of road and finished. And that was the last one for Tuesday, a Tuesday finish, which was, or a Wednesday finish, which was really odd because, we're used to seeing people coming in throughout the night on Wednesday, but that was it because you just had that 12-hour window you couldn't go. And so a lot of people ended up, stuck at the Hampton Inn. Went back down to the finish line, got to see a bunch of finishes on Thursday. That was really, 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 really awesome seeing the party pack all come in together. It was just so much fun watching them. Kim Drake on her brand new knee came in, and that was really special to see because I remember her having to drop last year because of all the knee pain and everything. And so it was just so awesome to see Kim Drake come across the finish line. And it was a different year for me. So I didn't get to race Swami Shuffle, but I got to see the other end of it, the finish line feels and see all the finish line. And I will admit, when I left the start line, realizing that my Swami Shuffle was over, there was a lot of sadness and there were some tears, and I was not happy. But I pivoted and I adapted and I said, okay, if you can't run, serve. And I tried to serve to the best of my abilities, and just went out and just got to see a lot of people. And then Friday, just so special. David Solomon is just a special story in my heart. I mean, here's a guy with muscular dystrophy who is out there just giving it his all, and you can tell the pain etched on his face every time I saw him out on the course. And you can tell, just what this journey was doing to him. But you could also, every once in a while, you see this giant smile come out of this guy's, persona, and you're filled with joy when you see it. And so Steven Dance, who, man, I'm telling you what, crew of the world, Steven Dance did an exemplary job of crewing on lack of sleep and serving David with everything he had in his being. I'm so proud of Steven Dance. And so Stephen and I went out to the Virginia, North Carolina border on the beach. And so we got to spend a lot of time on the beach. And then we came in with David. And it was just such, I cannot tell you what a joy it was to be a small part of seeing David Solomon, that incredible warrior, cross the finish line of a 220-mile race. It was just awesome. Nick Yates ended up being the DFL runner, and he did that by design. He wanted to extend his vacation, and then he surprised everybody by making it from the sign at Back Bay in an hour and 20 minutes. Yep, he blitzed those last 5 miles like that was probably his fastest miles of the entire race. So really proud of him for finishing up in great style. I cannot tell you enough about James and Josh. James Huller, is just an amazing human being, and Josh is just as amazing. And I love those guys, and I thank them for letting me be a little bit of the Swami Shuffle 2025, even though I wasn't running, and James is still calling me a wuss. But yeah, that's just how it is. So it was a lot of fun. I did not thoroughly enjoy my Swami Shuffle 2025, but I am going to go do it solo the first weekend in April, and so I will finish my Swami Shuffle 2025. It's not an official finish, but I've got enough of those that it doesn't really matter. It'll be my adventure run. And so it was great. Swami Shuffle 2025, a lot of special performances, incredible athletes. Michelle Gray, once again, she said she was just going for a party pace, and she still finished second female. And yeah, she's amazing. I just, every time I get around that gal, I just love being around her. She's just such a joy. So many strong performances. Very sad for Ron Hartlaub. He was not able to finish, but what a warrior. 130 something miles, got a bad forward lean again, and just feel for Ron, but he gave it everything he had. John Price out there once again was not able to get the job done, but that doesn't mean anything. John Price is an amazing human being, and I just love that he just keeps on getting out there and pushing his body to do way more than most people his age will do. And I'm so proud of John for everything that he does, and I love that guy, and I love his attitude. There's so many special memories for me from this race, and I won't forget it. And yes, I will be signing up April 1st when, midnight hits on the March 31st. I will be hovering over Ultra Sign Up to sign up for Swami Shuffle 2026. So that's the recap of Swami Shuffle. So let me tell you what we've got coming up for you. So as you guys know, I do a little bit with a phenomenal organization called F3. F3 stands for Fellowship, Faith and Fitness, and Hampton Roads chapter is full of a bunch of strong athletes, and I cannot wait to introduce you to a couple of them so you guys can find out more about this incredible organization called F3. And then we're going to have some of the finishers of Swami Shuffle 2025 on, and we're also going to do a special edition with James and Josh, hopefully in the very near future. So we've got a lot of really awesome stuff coming up. My year is just getting started, and I've got adventures planned for the year. So I'm only racing officially. I've only got two more races that I'm signed up for, and that'd be Virginia 24 Hour and of course Cape Fear. But we'll see. I might throw Tideland in there. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. No other big races for this year, though. I decided not to do 6 days in the dome, and I probably won't go back to Across the Years this year unless, I talk myself into it. So that's kind of going to be my racing year, but I plan on spending more time on the Appalachian Trail and cannot wait for that because that's always special time. But that will do it for this edition of Living an Ultra Life. Excuse my voice.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.